Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Mind your business with the breakfast huddle, only on Money FM 89.3.
It's time now for Mind Your Business. Now, it's no secret that Singapore is preparing itself for a post-pandemic world. Many sectors and businesses are slowly taking steps to ready themselves for a whole new world post-COVID-19. And while they're being kept busy with the evolution, many companies are also preparing themselves with the restructuring of their workforce. So companies are aiming for their workforce to be more well-equipped in the fast-evolving workplace landscape, with greater attention being put on organizations to have, you know, flexible work arrangements. And we saw a lot of this in the various global lockdowns, right? According to Kelly OCG's Global Workforce Agility Survey 2021, it has uncovered a gap where Singapore employers are lagging behind in providing flexible working hours and giving sufficient support to mental and physical well-being. And based on this research, 72% of business leaders in Singapore will adopt hybrid working models post-pandemic. But less than 1 in 4 admit to helping their staff cope better with the effects of the pandemic. Let's find out more on why Singapore businesses are lagging behind when it comes to transforming their workforce in that sense. On the line with me this morning is Peter Hamilton, Vice President and Regional Director, Asia Pacific for Kelly OCG. Peter, good morning. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Elliot. Thanks for having me on.
And I love surveys like this, you know, especially when it talks about the future of the workforce and how a hybrid model is the new normal in that sense. You guys just released the World Agility Report. What can you tell us about it?
Yeah, so this is the fourth year of us doing the study. We asked about 1,000 leaders across 13 countries their views about what's happening in the talent world and how talent is going to meet the challenge in the new world of flux, I guess, and including senior business leaders in Singapore who are part of that survey. And I guess what it's showing is really the top performers are really considering employee well-being and productivity is absolutely their highest priority. And we're seeing that translate really into better performance in those organizations.
All right, we'll get into those aspects in just a while. I also understand that it showed that it's critical for businesses to prioritize employee experience and leverage technology adoption for organizations to excel. I mean, when we talk about employee engagement, what kind of wide scope are we talking about here?
Well, look, let's start with the good news. One thing that did show up in the Singapore report was, and findings were, that Singapore leaders are regularly asking their employees how they're doing. So just over half of Singapore businesses are surveying their employees. As we know, surveys are great, but you have to do something and follow through. So, you know, again, the leading organizations, and we're seeing those examples in Singapore, are really putting employee experience at the heart of the matter and, you know, taking that and recognizing that, you know, it could be, you know, welfare, employee welfare programs, giving access to confidential counseling, greater focus on health and well-being, whether that's through virtual yoga and other health and well-being classes. You know, we've seen all of this good stuff, right? Distributing care packages, virtual meals, more substantive stuff. Some of the leading organizations have even introduced paid pandemic leave, particularly during the lockdown process. So, you know, we know it's still going on. Talent is really hard to find at the moment. And so those organizations that focus on that, I think, are going to get returns.
Sadly, there always has to be a balance, right? Because you have organizations that do that just for the sake of doing that without actually understanding the emotional aspects, the psychological aspects that come with engaging with your employee.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, ultimately, you know, we need to be treating employees as individuals and understanding that for some people, the remote working environment is actually, they're quite comfortable with it. Mm. We know from our own surveys that our own workforce, for many people, they see many advantages to remote working, or at least a hybrid working environment. But then for others, where the circumstances in their, you know, their a virtual home office is actually perched on a sofa, or on a kitchen bench, and they're living in a multi-generational household, or they've got children who are, you know, doing remote schooling as well, it becomes incredibly challenging. So, yeah, we've got to look at the, and this is where surveys and managers really having a pulse on how the employee is feeling is very, very important. But as I say, you've got to act on that information as well and change your working practices.
Completely right. I mean, I've seen even from the simplest approach, a lot of global companies, they offer their staff a certain amount of budget to go set up their home office. But at the same time, your report has found that Singapore business leaders are not moving fast enough to adapt. Why are they at this juncture? Could they be thinking that perhaps with the way Singapore has handled the pandemic, that it's highly possible we could go back to life as per normal? Don't want to accept the new normal, perhaps?
Yeah, I think there's a bit of that, right? I mean, no one has known how long the lockdown process or the various waves that we have been in there. So I think one thing that came out loud and clear in the survey is really that Singapore businesses haven't really managed well with adopting new tech. So new technology, whether that's productivity tools, whether it's digitizing processes, whether it's HR tools or people practices, you know, there still seem to be lagging some of the, even the APAC countries we surveyed in the report as well. So that's certainly an opportunity for organizations. And you could say it's just because there was a belief that we would go back to the old way of doing things rather than the new norm.
Yeah.
But I think, as I would say, you know, our feeling is, and the survey shows, that actually a lot of workers don't want to go back to the old way of doing things, but would still like interaction and collaboration. But, you know, in a hybrid working environment, and I think that's probably the way that we'll see things roll out in the longer term.
A bit of best of both worlds. I know, based on market observation, I wanted to get your opinion of this. Which country have you noticed is doing best in terms of using technology to leverage, you know, the aspects of well-being deteriorating and whatnot?
I think the countries that we surveyed, certainly the US, there's pockets of the companies in the US that are doing better. I think it's probably industries that are adopting better. If you broke down the industries, so we know that the tech companies, some of the banking and finance clients have also been some of the earlier adopters of technology and have invested and have, you know, accepted that their working processes and policies need to change as well. So, you know, I think those are probably some of the leading sectors. And, you know, like I said, there's plenty of opportunity for Singapore to catch up in this regard as well.
Mm. I know you mentioned earlier some of the various aspects of technology and practices that can be adopted to help with mental well-being. Based on various cases and based on what you've observed in the market, which has shown to be the most effective when it comes to using technology to help employee well-being and engagement?
I don't think you can call out one particular technology for employee well-being and engagement. I think what we need to do what organizations need to do is first of all understand where are the pain points. So it's not the same for every organization. You know, for some organizations through this period, our employee workload has significantly increased. So I think if you're seeing symptoms of that, then I think, you know, you need to investigate how to improve productivity.
Mm-hmm.
For some organizations, they're still working on workarounds because, you know, to overcome not being physically together in one place. So I think those could be really quick wins. What we are seeing is that a lot of organizations, given we've been through this for the last 18 months and we've got some way ahead, are really now in environments where they've brought on new people into the team who they may never have met in person.
Yeah.
Or, you know, so I think, you know, look at how you bring new workers into the organization, how do you make them feel part of the culture, and, you know, what are the tools and equipment you give them to collaborate? And I'm talking beyond, you know, the Zoom or Teams world, but, you know, small things that we have seen that have been very effective would be where employees are matched to meet for a coffee, and it's sort of like, you know, randomly, but, you know, systematically. So it's kind of taking advantage of all of these new ways of collaborating to try and replicate some of the employee interaction that you would get, you know, across teams rather than just, you know, within your own team.
Yeah.
And, you know, but our belief, as long as, you know, a hybrid working environment is really where organizations will land, and for the majority, where they're able to. And you'll see, hopefully, they opportunity to combine, you know, the traditional face-to-face interaction that we've all enjoyed, and I think is very important, along with, you know, being effective and productive and happier when you're working outside of the building as well.
Yeah, a lot of permutations to building a team now. In fact, your report also showed that businesses are starting to look at contingent talents, greater focus on contingent workers as compared to permanent staff. What does this do when it comes to the hiring landscape? Are we expecting, I don't know, in that sense, a jump in the gig economy?
Well, I think so. We have been running this report in Singapore for 4 years. We have seen this as a continuation of a trend where organizations wanting to use talent in different ways. And frankly, a lot of the knowledge workers want to be engaged in different ways as well. So we see this as a continuation. The report clearly shows that organizations are very willing to, or more willing to, bring in contingent talent, contractors, freelancers, those kind of workers. And, you know, I think that is partly because there is uncertainty in the business environment, but I also think it's because increasingly that is the way that, let's take an IT, typical IT worker wants to be working on the latest project and often is engaged that way to get work done now.
Actually, just to expand a little bit on the hiring process, where do you see us going in terms of, you know, when it comes down to hiring, how much emphasis do you expect to be placed on things like hybrid work arrangements or even things like flexible working hours? Because take, for example, a pregnant lady. It's no issue for her to take care of a baby and still fulfill the best parts of a job for the first year, you know, when the child is still an infant. This does change the hiring landscape a lot, right?
I think it does. I think for those organizations who are able to overcome what was the traditional thinking that, you know, it was 9 to 5 and people needed to be in the office at their desk, you know, what this pandemic has shown is that, you know, and often against, you know, it wouldn't be anyone's preference, but it has shown that you can juggle, you know, a lot of things at home and still get work done. I think we generally would encourage organizations to think as broadly as possible as to how to make work work for the individual, but also make sure it's sustainable. You know, those hours you can fit around someone's life, but he's going to make sure that works for the individual as well.
Yeah, we can always dive into the aspects, the next most important aspects of work-life balance, but that's a whole different can of worms altogether.
That's right. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should, right?
That's
you
know, so true.
That's making sure that, yeah, works for everybody.
I've been speaking with Peter Hamilton, Vice President and Regional Director for Asia Pacific at Kelly OCG. Peter, appreciate your time this morning. Take care and stay safe.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.